is beginning to rain, 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 to the voice of our Father. Then whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, the cup to the sky is beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. How wonderful to be with you today as we're broadcasting around the world, but we're heard in places, oh, just some strange places, and we get letters from the Caribbean all the way over to, I think we've even got a few from Israel. I know we have quite a few from Eastern Europe, and then there's Australia, and many of them have written us letters and told us what a great blessing they get from Bible Home Church. And you know, friends, when you support Bible Home Church, you're supporting the gospel of Jesus Christ across the world. A lot of people say, oh, I wish I had a ministry. I wish I had a ministry that could reach thousands around the world. Well, maybe this is it. You see, I feel that this is your ministry. We're just here doing the Lord's work. And if you support this ministry, well, you're a part of God's work with Bible Home Church. You're as much a part of Bible Home Church as Pastor Tex Mars is. And I want you to feel that way about it. I solicit your letters, your cards, and I want to hear from you if you're getting a blessing from this program. Now, we are into a new series. It's called The Awakening. The Awakening. True rebirth versus spiritual fraud and demonic possession. Now we're going to have part two of that. We began this series last week. We're going to have part two of this series on the awakening in just a few minutes. First, maybe you'd like to write to us. Maybe God has put on your heart to support this ministry, this Bible Home Church program as it's being heard around the world. Or possibly you'd like to write us and comment about our program. We get many wonderful letters from our friends, letters of encouragement, and we want to thank you for those letters. We'll be just thrilled to hear from you. You know, we go to our mailbox and we open up that mailbox, and I'm just always encouraged the more letters and cards that I see in there. I really am, and I just can't wait to open them up and read them and see what people are saying. We don't get too many critical letters every once in a while. You know, if you're a pastor and you're doing what's right for the Lord, you're going to have people out there that you get a little angry sometime. You know, they just think you're just meddling and when you shouldn't be. And they don't like a certain sermon because it may touch home too much. But I'll preach a sermon on a certain topic, and I have always invariably will have a couple people who come up to me and say, you know, I think that sermon was meant by God just for me. And frankly, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. Sometimes I believe God does move my heart to preach a sermon. It's not that it's not of importance for the whole group, but it might be that God just wants to reach one person. Recently, a brother from Florida passed away, Brother Vernon Ageman. He called me just a few months before he died of cancer. And he said to me something that, well, it didn't really sadden me. I'd heard it before, and I knew just what to say in response. He said, Brother Tex, I've been following your ministry for years, and I get your newsletter, and I get tracts, you know, religious tracts telling people about Christ. And I've been handing them out. I go door to door sometime, and I pass them out to people I meet. And, you know, most people don't even pay it any mind. I don't think I've done any good at all. I've just wasted my time for years doing that. I said, well, now, Brother Ageman, let's think about that just a minute. You know, it was Brother John Quincy Adams, President of the United States, sixth president, one of our most famous forefathers in this country, he was asked why he was exposing this evil cult-like group. A friend of his said, you know, John, it won't do any good. They're too strong a group. It won't do you any good, so why are you doing that? And he said something. He said, John Adams said, duty is man, consequences are God's. It's not your fault whether someone hears the word of God. You just do your duty. That's what he was saying. And if you expose an evil group and tell them they better change and repent, if they don't do it, don't worry about it. You've done your work. Now, Vernon Ageman said, oh, I see what you mean. Now, who said that? I said, John Quincy Adams. He said, that's good. That's real good. Duty is man. Consequences are God's. I said, that's right. He said, but wait, you know something, Brother Tex? It suddenly struck him. You know how you can suddenly remember something you had forgotten? He said, you know what? I wasn't exactly truthful. I recall now, there was one young man in the town I lived in right before I moved to Avon Park, Florida. There was one man, he said, a young man. In fact, he said he was a Jewish man. And I gave him these letters, newsletters of yours and things, and he was really interested in them. And he said, I believe in this. And before long, he was going out passing stuff out to people. He became a believer too. He said, you know, I don't know what happened to that young man, but I remember him. He was Jewish, and he believed. And he thanked me so much for giving him that material. I said, well, now, Vernon Ageman, isn't that fascinating? You preached for years and you only had one convert, a man who was Jewish. But he's out there preaching to others. Wow. You just have no idea of the fruits. He said, yeah, that's right. Oh, and Brother Ageman, he was just, that made his day. Because he remembered that one young man that was excited about the word. Friends, today on this program, there may only be one person out there listening. Only one that it really touches their heart. And there may be somebody out there that just makes them mad. And I don't mind making people mad. Some people have to get mad when they first discover the truth before it finally sinks in. And you may be surprised. Some people that you go preach the truth to, they just rage at you and they're angry at you. How dare you come to me? Who do you think you are, you holier-than-thou Christian? But you don't have to worry about the consequences. They're God's. But it just could be that you planted a seed. And you know, you may not know of those seeds. I suspect that Brother Ageman had no idea of how many people had turned to Christ because of him. He gave out the material. The people appeared to reject it and they went about their way. But maybe they took it back to their apartment, to their home. Maybe they gave it to a loved one. Maybe they threw it out their car window. And someone else found it walking down the sidewalk. Who knows? Who knows the ways of God? You know, Jesus Christ said, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is like the wind. It moves this way and it moves that way. And what human being can possibly understand it? Oh, friends, you never know. But I want you to know this much. You out there who have been good enough to support this ministry, we don't know all the seeds that are planted. But I know this much. Nothing ever comes back void if it contains the Word of God in it. There's an old story about the man who was called to preach. But he was such a hard preacher, no church would accept him. And he finally just took a little old stump-like thing and went out into the forest and just began to preach. He thought he was just preaching to the birds and all the animals. He thought, nobody's listening to me, but I'm going to preach anyway. And the story goes, I don't know whether it's true, it could be, I believe it's possible that some years later a man came up to him and said, "Well, brother, you don't know me, but I was hunting one day in the woods, and I heard you over there just preaching away. And it struck my heart that somebody would be that foolish to preach way out in the forest by themselves. It struck my heart so much that I thought, well, God must really be real to that man, and he's not real to me. And I want the same thing that man has. And I accepted Jesus, and I want you to know I went home, accepted Jesus, my whole family got saved because of your preaching." Well, you say, "Oh, well, that's just a legend. Somebody made that up." I've heard it's true. I heard it was a preacher that happened to from Jeffersonville, Indiana. Now, the fact is God can move in miraculous ways. If you're going to get mad at me, write me and let me know you're mad, would you? Let me know you're angry. I want to hear from you anyway. But watch out, I might write you back. And you might be drawn to Christ through what I answer. Well, we're going to get on with the program now, but first we always have some beautiful music. Hey, by the way, I want to hear from you even if you don't send us a love gift. If you have a prayer need, please don't think you have to pay for it. That's silly. I don't make any distinction whether you give a dime. If you have a prayer need, let us know. It's our privilege. We're honored. You're doing us a favor by asking us to pray for you. Now, we'll talk about that some other time, the power of prayer. But today we've got the Cathedrals, a great old gospel group, and they're going to sing a song that basically goes this way, "Try Me, O Savior." Well, boy, that's a challenge, isn't it? Here is the Cathedrals, and then we'll have today's message, part two of The Awakening. That people, through their own self-realization of who they were, the superior race, they could awake and be changed. And he wanted Germany to have the same awakening, obviously, that he had had. Now, it's interesting that Hitler also believed that certain mythologies and the study of pagan religion and culture could lead to an awakening. Here again now we get into this varieties of religious experiences. And Hitler himself, before he became the chancellor and the dictator of Germany, he fastened on, believe it or not, to opera music. Many of you don't know that Hitler loved Wagnerian operas, the operas of Richard Wagner. That's W-A-G-N-E-R, Wagner. And his biographers say that Hitler attended Wagner's opera 40 times. You know, it'd get a little boring to me to sit there and see the same opera over and over again. But Hitler said it inspired him each time.
It awakened him to his destiny. The music and the powerful expressions of these Wagnerian operas. Of course, it's classical music. Many people believe that Wagner's music, some of the most beautiful and wonderful and powerful expressive music that has ever been composed. They compare Richard Wagner to Mozart and to Handel and to all of the other Beethoven, all the other great classical composers. But in his music and in his stories, he encapsulated the pagan mythologies, the Germanic gods and goddesses, Thor and all of the others that Hitler sought to return to a modern-day Germany. And so he was awakened through the music and the performances of the operas of Richard Wagner. Awakened. There can be many ways to awaken a man or a woman, my friend. In India today, you go to India and visit all of the Hindu temples and sanctuaries and see the results of the religion of Hinduism. You'll see the way that they claim to achieve awakenings. Men will put hooks and pins and needles in their body. They will deprive their body of food until they're just skin and bones. They will go into a temple and be surrounded by thousands of rats or snakes that crawl all over their body. And they say from this they receive a great awakening. Awakening. Reminds me of the Catholic monks. Just recently, Pope John Paul II canonized, in other words, he supposedly created a new saint. Now, I find that sort of humorous, since only God can make a saint. And anyone who has become a new believer and is born again and has an awakening of Jesus Christ through faith in him and faith alone, that man, my friends, has become, or that woman is a saint. But in the Catholic Church, the Pope has to put his approval power on it. And they have to have an investigation to determine if you're worthy of being categorized. I have to laugh at that as a saint. Well, evidently the founder of the Catholic order called Opus Dei, or Work of God, he has been made a saint. Chosen to be a saint. Now let me tell you a little bit about Opus Dei. One of the things that its adherents believe, its people who practice it and are members of Opus Dei, they go to certain monasteries or isolated locations, and there they put on the skimpiest of clothes and they take what we would sort of consider a cat of nine tails or some other instrument, and they regularly beat themselves with it. They're called the flagellants. They flagellate. They believe that the pain, the pain that's caused and the harm in their body is getting them some kind of credit from God. So they regularly beat themselves. I understand that some very rich men and powerful men arrive at the monasteries, the Catholic monasteries, secluded in the hills and the mountains. They take off their clothes and they put on a small little loincloth and they go pick up their little whip and they go and they whip themselves for a few hours and meditate, and then they go take a nice little shower and have their the cuttings in their body that they've made on their body, put a little medicine on them, and then they put back on their $1,000 tailor-made suit and get back into their Mercedes or sports cars and drive off. And they believe that they have gained favor with God. And many in Opus Dei say that this is when their awakening came, while they were beating themselves and meditating. An awakening, they say. in deep Africa. Many African tribesmen say that they too have received the awakening. Some walk on hot coals. Now, there's a little trick to walking on live hot coals, and it usually, because of the physics of it, does not burn your feet. But if you lollygag and don't go too fast, it can burn the soles of your feet. Some of these people do, in fact, receive severe burns to their feet, especially older African tribesmen who can't seem to get across the coals, walk across at a brisk pace. They get some severe burns on the underside of their feet. But nevertheless, they say, they receive an awakening. In Benin and in Nigeria and some other parts of Africa, I am told that the tribal leaders go and visit python and other snakes. And they allow the snakes to coil around their body, and then they lay down and have dreams. And they say that they received an awakening from the serpent. And you know, I don't doubt them at all. I do. I do believe they are receiving an awakening. Shirley MacLaine, you know, in the movie that became popular, the New Age movie some years ago on TV, you know, where she stood by the ocean and put out her hands, and as the waves of the ocean beat on the beach, she kept calling out, you know, I am God, I am God, I am God. She said she had an awakening. And then she went up to the highest mountains of Peru, where they worshiped the great sun god and so forth, the ancient peoples, and they sacrificed people, the human beings, cut out their hearts and so forth there, and sacrificing the sun god. And she said she went in and she took the hot baths there that are in the caves, and she had another religious awakening. Evidently, you can have a number of awakenings. Sort of reminds me, you know, back in the old Pentecostal days, of the man who preached as an evangelist at a Pentecostal church. And a man came up and said, you know, I love your preaching, sir. I've gone to a lot of churches and heard you preach revivals. And I tell you, it really inspires me. And the evangelist revival leader said, well, that's wonderful, brother. I'm glad it has. He says, in fact, he said, I've been saved 39 times under your ministry. That was in the days, you know, when the Pentecostals believed you could lose your salvation if you sinned just one time. So they would go out and, I don't know, maybe they'd tell a little white lie, or they'd get angry, or in some other way sin, and they'd say, uh-oh, I've just lost my salvation. I'm going to have to go back to church. Maybe I have to go to a revival and get my salvation back. The man said, I've been saved 39 times under your ministry. That's what I call repeated awakenings, my friend. Well, it's also making a mockery of God. You're saying God can't do it right. He has to keep repeating it over and over. Well, if that were true, I think he'd just give up on most of us. I know he'd give up on me. I tell you, I praise God that I have some security in his work on the cross. But, you know, I'm not saying that you should go out and sin. By no means. Even Paul said, no way. God forbid that we should sin just so that we can have God to show his glory by forgiving us. In fact, the Apostle Paul said that we are not to sin because it grieves the Holy Spirit. And we are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. But because you have the Holy Spirit in you, my friend, when you sin, do you not know that the Holy Spirit cannot coexist with sin, and it grieves the Holy Spirit for you to sin? Because your body is the temple of the living God. That's what the Bible says. And I believe there's great sadness and anguish and grief in heaven when we sin. That alone, my friends, should be a reason not to sin and to seek the forgiveness of Christ Jesus. But let's go back to these varieties, the many ways of receiving the awakening. You know, in my book, Dark Secrets of the New Age, then in a follow-up book called Mystery Mark of the New Age, I explain the conversion process, the awakening process, as it is experienced by those in the New Age movement. And one of the ways, of course, is through meditation. Meditation. Now, a Roy Davis of a New Age church called the Center for Spiritual Awareness in the state of Georgia, he wrote this about meditation. Now, this is a meditation, you know, where you sit sort of lotus-legged, cross-legged, like the Hindus and the Buddhists do, and you meditate.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.